very thankful to be able to be here on the first day of the week. And again, thank you for all your prayers on our behalf on our journey to Florida for 2 weeks, and sometimes very harrowing on the freeway. And God provided us with safe passage. So very thankful for all those who were preaching and teaching here. We're so very thankful for capable and godly men who were able to carry on the work of the Lord as we were able to enjoy our time away and to be able to be encouraged by faithful brethren in other places and to be blessed, be able to worship God in other places that are doing the will of the Lord. And as we have studied this morning, the excellent job that Brett does teaching the Bible class and Romans chapter 1 in our study, and then as we think about the hymns that we have sung, Carl had led us in, and more about Jesus, and hope and pray that your aim and goal and desire is to know the words about Jesus as we studied, as far as the Bible is all about Jesus, and you think about what God has provided before the foundation of the world, that we would be saved through Christ. And Ephesians chapter 1 talks all about that. And so we hope and pray that is your aim and goal and desire, and to recognize I've got to realize concerning what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. Because the thing is, as we look upon, as we have prayed and as our young men have prayed about this, as far as our sins put him on the cross. We all have sinned and come short of his glory. While we look upon the religious world, as far as December 25th and not the birthday of Jesus, as we're going to notice in the scriptures, that we want to speak as the oracles of God. These are the words of eternal life. And we hope and pray that each and every one will examine themselves by the scriptures, which is going to judge us in the last day. That we might be like the Bereans, who even examine what the Apostle Paul was saying, and they only had the Old Testament scriptures. And as you think about the scrolls that they would have and the time that it took to research what the Apostle Paul is saying, an inspired man of God, and they were willing to examine the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And an uninspired man like myself, I hope and pray that you will do so, you find it to be so, that you receive the word with great eagerness. And if I fail to uphold the word of God, that you'd be my friend to tell me so that I might make correction. When we think about concerning our children in the future, because when we talk about lessons like this, and some people would say, well, we've heard this over and over again. Well, as you look to the Bible, to the scriptures, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul would talk about as far as remind you of these things. Because if we're not reminded of these things, we'll have the temptation to become like the world. And before we know it, be worldly and think that we're serving God when we're not. When you look upon the Old Testament, first of all, as far as them coming out of Egyptian bondage, and here the Passover sacrifice, and your children asking you questions about that. What do these things mean as far as we're taking the Passover lamb and all that went along with that? And so they would be reminded concerning when God passed them over, as far as having the blood on the doorpost, and God passed over them. We sing a hymn sometimes, I will pass over you. And that's a reminder concerning God saving their lives, their firstborn child, while all the rest of the Egyptians, their firstborn was put to death. And so as we think about the sacrifice of Christ and what it means, well, why our children are raised, why do you take that unleavened bread and that fruit of the vine? And so we tell them and we show them from the scriptures what the words of eternal life, as you think about Jesus is the word. John chapter 1 and verse 1, we've been studying in our Bible class. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he explained the Father's will. He did everything that he was told by the Father. He was obedient to that. These are the words of eternal life. So we ask the question here, should you remember Jesus' birth or his death? I think that's a legitimate question, and we're going to show the contrast between, as you look to the Word of God, what the words of Jesus and what he said in comparison to what man says. First of all, as we partook of the Lord's Supper here this morning, as we do every first day of the week, why do we do that? Well, Jesus said to his disciples, you'll also see this in Matthew's account also, you know, partaking of the unleavened bread before his death, he said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in what? In remembrance of me. It's a memorial. It's a communion with the Lord. As you think about concerning his sacrifice, and this is an imperative here, Jesus is specifically saying, do this in remembrance of me. We're blessed to have the opportunity to do that this morning in accordance with the words of Jesus. Well, what about December 25th being Jesus' birthday? Is there any evidence for that? Does the Bible reveal that? Well, the Bible doesn't reveal it, and that's reflected in the Catholic Encyclopedia and many others could say, and I quote from the Catholic Encyclopedia, which is still online today, and this is a quote from that, concerning the date of Christ's birthday, birth, what does this, they say about the Gospels? The Gospels give no help. They would admit the Bible doesn't reveal it. Continuation with the quote, upon their data, contradictory arguments are based. There's a lot of different dates. Go back, some would say, well, back to 200 AD, that's long after the first century church, and would say different dates like May 20th or April. You could give arguments for any date. And as you look upon, contradictory arguments are based. And notice what they continue with the quote here. The census would have been impossible in winter, because the census in Luke chapter 3, this is how Mary and Joseph ended up in Bethlehem, by a decree. And would they have gone during the winter? The Catholic Encyclopedia would admit it would have been impossible in winter. A whole population could not be put in motion. When you think about that, the contrast in the statements concerning Christ in Christmas, Christ is the one who died for the sins of the world. As you look upon what individuals would say, and the Catholic Encyclopedia would admit, the Gospels give no help. You remember what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29? Why didn't he give the date of his birth? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. What has been revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. Where's the authority to remember December 25th as Jesus' birthday? You can ask that question of so many others, the multitude of individuals that are thinking that this is the birthday of Christ and have been raised with that all of their lives. Yes, Jesus is the Word. He became flesh. Yes, he was born of a virgin in fulfillment of the passage, Isaiah 7, verse 14, and Matthew 1, verse 22 and 23 in the Gospels. But did Jesus want us to remember his birth? Did he want us to remember that? Think about, we need to speak as the oracles of God in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Well, as you look upon, say, well, that was in the Gospel account. Jesus said that. But did any church, did the church of Christ in these different congregations that these letters were written to, did they actually partake of the Lord's Supper? Well, this command was given to the church at Corinth, where the Apostle Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which he was betrayed, took the bread and then also the cup, saying, do this in remembrance of me. And so here you have the quotation from the Gospel. Christ is head over all things of the church, which is his body. the body responds to the head, and here they took the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine in accordance with what? In accordance with the Lord's instructions, do this in remembrance of me. This command was given to the church at Corinth. Where is the command given to the church to practice it in the New Testament? The whole thing is, as we look upon the early church, did they remember the birth of Jesus in any passage that you can find? Well, if not, who gave it? Who gave it to them? There are many different authorities that would give and talk about the historical fact of this. In Encyclopedia Britannica said, and I quote, "The church in Rome began formally celebrating Christmas on December 25th and 336 during the reign of the Emperor Constantine." Well, is that in accordance with God's will, what we see in the Word of God? Because the whole thing is that as you look to the Bible, it was once for all delivered to the saints. You can't add to or take away from the Word of God, or you'll suffer the consequences of that. As you think about the end of Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, the Catholic Church started December 25th as Jesus' birth. It wasn't authorized by the Lord. It was authorized by man. When you look at the Lord's Supper, it wasn't just the church at Corinth that had partaken. You remember on the day of Pentecost when that first gospel sermon was preached, Jesus had said while he was on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That didn't mean that they were automatically forgiven, but 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, Pentecost being 50 days, that's where that word comes from. 50 days later, here they had the opportunity as the gospel is preached, they're convicted in their sins and they crucified the Son of God. And he said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." For what reason? "For the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," in Acts 2 and verse 38. About 3,000 individuals gladly received the word. They were baptized in Acts 2, verse 41. In Acts 2 and verse 42, what do we see that they're doing? "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." The breaking of bread there is the Lord's Supper. They were continually devoting themselves to the breaking of bread, the church at Jerusalem there, because that's where the gospel was to be first preached in accordance with God's will. As you look to the fulfillment of the Old Testament passages in Luke 24 and verse 47, repentance and remission of sins, we'd be preaching his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then later on in Acts 20 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, "On the first day of the week, we gathered together to break bread." That was at the church at Troas. Now, it didn't have to say that over and over and over again. As you see, they're on their journeys. Oftentimes, when you look upon, they stayed over 7 days. Why? Because they wanted to gather together with the saints to break bread, to remember the Lord's Supper. And, of course, there was preaching going on there. So we see the church at Jerusalem and Troas obeyed the command in accordance with the will of God, remembering Jesus' death in the Lord's Supper. Do I ask you the question, though? You can ask the question to others concerning that. Where is the church at any church in the New Testament there that you see that partook or remembered the Lord's birth on December 25th? Where do we see that? Well, there are no examples of the first century church. I used to say divinely approved example, but there's no examples at all that we see of the first century church remembering his birth. And again, remember, Christ is head over all things of the church. The church is his body. The body is supposed to respond to the head. If so, where is the passage? Well, according to historians, when was it celebrated by churches? The Collier Encyclopedia said by the end of the 4th century, the whole Christian world was celebrating Christmas on that day. Again, where's the authority to that? Because as you after you look at the New Testament, and the whole thing is you get away from the Word of God, and you see concerning the traditions of men, Catholicism, reigning. There was a warning about in the Bible about the falling away, the apostasy, in several different passages in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's going to be a falling away from the faith. And so we shouldn't be surprised that we see that it happens, those who depart from the words of Jesus. Not until the fourth century was Christmas started by man. Now, he asks a question in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as you look on these couple passages here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, did the apostles teach different things in different churches? Why is this in the Word of God, the importance of listening to the Word of God? Remember, the apostles were inspired by God. As you think about, they were eyewitnesses of his death, burial, resurrection, and to preach the gospel, being guided into all the truth. And so even now, when we read it, we can understand it, according to Ephesians 3 and verses 3 through 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, that is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. I teach them everywhere in every church. Since Paul taught the same thing in every church, what would all the churches be doing? Those who are churches that belong to Christ. Well, they would have observed this command. How often? How often did they do that? So, well, the first day of the week. That was a specific, right? The first day of the week. Well, how many first days of the week are there in a calendar year? Well, there's 52. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where many denominations would understand the command that they give on the first day of the week, and understand that's every first day of the week, you have many that would just do maybe on Christmas, on Easter, or maybe once a quarter, however it might be, other than just the first day of the week. So what is more important? As you look upon the sacrifice of Christ, remember what he has done. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, not concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do on the first day of every week. Each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there be no collecting when I come. Well, the first day of the week. Well, they're all gathered together on the first day of the week. And we remember the Lord's death on the first day of the week. Same thing in every church. Where is the scripture that the church remembered his birth? So you come back to that question every time that people make the arguments concerning, well, it's a good thing. It makes me feel good. It's our tradition and what we're doing. And all the denominations, or many denominations, do that. That's what I've known all my life, somebody might say. Well, do you realize, as the word Christmas, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, Mass of Christ was first found in 1038 A.D., about 1,000 years after Jesus died, buried, arose from the dead, not even used until that time, if what the Catholic Encyclopedia is saying is accurate there. Since the Lord didn't command it, the first century church clearly didn't observe it. When we look at the scripture, the facts show that God's word does not approve of remembering the birthday of Jesus in Christmas. When we think about how God speaks to us today, does God just tell individuals as they're going up to the pulpit? There's some concerning, well, the Lord said to me, and this is what I'm supposed to say. It's blasphemous that individuals will not go back to the Word of God, to the words of Christ, the words of eternal life, and blaspheme by saying, this is what just came into my mind, and you can't find it in the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer said by inspiration in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, he said, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Have become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. We've been living in the last days since the first century. God has spoken to us. How? Through his Son. It's recorded in the Bible for us. What is the only way that faith comes? Well, I've got my own faith. There are many faiths that are out there, somebody might say. Well, the Bible says there's only one faith, right? Ephesians chapter 4. There is one faith. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, and also Romans chapter 16, verse 26, it's the obedience of faith. And so when we look upon our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by the word of Christ. When we think about the scriptures, that's the only way that we're going to obtain a faith. In Jude 1, in that one chapter in verse 3, Jude was wanting to write about the common salvation. Here are those that had crept in, turning God's grace into a license, basically a license to sin. He said, I urge you to contend earnestly. That's the idea of agonize for the faith, the one faith. As you think about concerning it, it's once for all delivered to the saints. It's not going to change. Contend earnestly for the words of Jesus, remembering Jesus' death and the Lord's Supper, for what he has said to remember. How can you remember the birth of Christ by faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer says by inspiration, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Can you please God without faith? Without pointing to a passage, this is the reason why I'm practicing this. Because this, the Lord said this here. Or we had divinely approved example. And so we look at all the facts and by necessary inference, this is why I'm practicing this. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The only way we can seek him is by the word of God. So I ask the question, since it's impossible to please God without faith, how can you participate in an activity that is a tradition of men and not approved by the Lord? Doesn't approve of that. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, we're warned in Colossians 2 and verse 8. The apostle Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Because again, concerning the command of the Lord, it's a command of men, it's a tradition of men. So as you think about concerning how many know the truth of God's word, but it's unpopular, I'm being persecuted for it, the temptation to be just like the world and being taken captive by man's philosophy. Don't be deceived. The Apostle Paul is warning the brethren there, because it just takes little by little as time goes by. Don't preach these kind of lessons anymore because it's so offensive to people. It doesn't make people feel good, and they get mad about that. And so if you can't beat them, join them. As far as you think about the philosophies of individuals, Satan is working really hard to get brethren to compromise on this and many other issues. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, well, somebody says, well, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15 talks about we're supposed to keep the traditions of man, No, if you look very closely here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul said, "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions." We're to hold to the traditions. What kind of traditions are we to hold fast to? "That you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." Obviously, when you look at the first century, the spoken word, they spoke the words of eternal life, didn't they? We have the letters written down, these inspired letters written down for us. This is what we're to hold fast to, what has been taught by God's word. We studied in our Bible class concerning all scriptures God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in what? And righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Every good work is going to be supplied in the word of God. So, well, it's a good work to remember the birth of Christ. Well, where do we have that information? It came from man. It didn't come from God. Now, when you see whatever you do in Colossians 3 and verse 17, does that include everything? Whatever you do in word or deed, do what? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The God of heaven is alive. Jesus Christ is at his right hand. He knows the motivation of why we are doing what we are doing. We are not going to get away with just saying, "Well, it makes me feel good. It's a tradition that we're doing." Multitudes of individuals are doing that. Are we holding fast to the traditions we have been taught by God's word? Because if we're not, in Matthew chapter 15, and Matthew chapter 15 is an example. When you think about this example concerning how to deal with issues, this is what God says, and this is what man says. We see a pattern in God's word as showing the difference between truth and error. But when people aren't taught and they go by their feelings, hey, they have all the degrees. The preacher has all the degrees. And most people are praising that. Let's go back to the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 15, here are the Pharisees and scribes that came to Jesus from Jerusalem and were arguing against his disciples. "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat?" Now, just saying concerning that, if you don't wash your hands, that's not, hey, that's good to not wash your hands. No, it's good to wash your hands, but as a commandment of the Lord. It's a tradition of the elders. It's not a commandment of the Lord. Why do your disciples not do that? And he answered them, and notice how he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of what? Of your tradition." The commandment of God in this circumstance to remember the Lord's Supper. And as you think about, people are not remembering the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, are remembering his birth, which he never said to obey or remember. And here concerning those who are breaking the commandment of God for the sake of their tradition, he gives the example, "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God." I've already given it to God. He's trying to circumvent the commandment of God. "He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with what? With their lips. Oh, how I love Jesus. More about Jesus would I know." A lot of people don't want to know more about Jesus because when they're rebuked in their sins, they get mad. They get mad at the preacher, mad at the Bible, or just say, "Oh, we don't care what the Lord says. We're going to continue with our traditions." Giving lip service to the Lord, but where is their heart? Their heart is far away from me. Why? Because their heart, if their heart was in tune with God's word, they wouldn't be practicing sin, practicing those things that are not in accordance with God's will, because we are commanded to worship God, how? In spirit and in truth. As you think about the truth of God's word, but also our hearts and our minds are in tune with God's word. We're not thinking about other things. We're thinking about the word of God. Now, what about their worship? Did he deny that they're worshiping him? No. But how are they doing it? He said, in vain do they worship me. Teaching what? Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Is the December 25th, the birthday of Christ, is that a commandment of men or a commandment of the Lord? I think it's pretty obvious. It's a commandment of men. The vain, empty, useless worship, not in accordance with God's word. So we ask the question, are you holding fast to the traditions of men or obeying the commands of God? Now, the whole thing is, as we point this out, this isn't from a superior position, because you need to recognize concerning even those who are raising the church like I was, when parents allow their children to go to midnight mass at the Catholic Church, which my parents allowed me to do that, and go to other denominations where they're practicing these things on these religious days or the birthday of Christ and all that, is confusing to the child. And the whole thing is, as we look upon the example, this is why we remembered his death on the first day of the week today, just like the other 51 weeks of the year, in obedience to his command. Not to show that we're superior, but we want to be pleasing to the Lord as we have sung and as we have prayed. In John chapter 12, you need to remember these words in John 12 in verses 48 through 50. Such powerful words in John chapter 12 verses 48 through 50 as Jesus is speaking here in John 12 in verse 48. Jesus said, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. I'm not going to judge you. Other people aren't going to judge you. The Lord is going to judge you. How? By his words. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." Do we have the fully revealed word of God? If Jesus was told what to say and what to speak, can we do better than that? But it doesn't give people comfort. Doesn't make people feel good. The truth is that the Lord is going to judge us in the last day. I want to speak the words of eternal life, because I'm going to be judged more strictly because of the power of influence. And the whole thing is our children, grandchildren, need to understand these principles of truth concerning, well, we've heard these kind of lessons before. Has it changed? Is it still a problem in our society, in our world? Of course it is a problem. But as he says here in verse 50 of John 12, he said, "I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." We're talking about where people are going to spend eternity, eternal life or eternal condemnation. And thus, in 1 Peter 4, in verse 11, what does the Apostle Peter say? If any man speaks, just think about spiritually speaking, let him speak as what? As the oracles of God. We can speak as the oracles of God, and remembering Jesus' death and the Lord's Supper. We can't speak as the oracles of God when we're talking about December 25th as the birthday of Christ. We aren't given the day. So we ask a question as you go to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23. Especially when you go to funerals. Almost every single time the denominational preacher will preach that person in heaven. Where does that preacher have the right to do that when they haven't done the will of God? Many will say, in verse 22. We'll go to verse 21 first. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or calling Jesus Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who is going to enter? But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Be reminded, Jesus is the one who's speaking this. And Jesus is the one who's going to be the judge, not me or you, that he will be the judge. And he said, whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven is going to enter, but not everyone who calls Jesus Lord will enter. In verse 22, we know it has been revealed what is going to happen on that day. What is going to happen? Verse 22, on that day, many, not a few, not some, but on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. All that means is that they didn't respect his authority and didn't obey his will. If you remember his birth on December 25th, but don't obey his command to remember his death, how will you answer him in the judgment day? In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, why? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Sadly, churches of Christ are compromising. When you think about the fact that a church that has Christ as its head, and that claim and calls itself after his name, will submit to do his will, not their own will. We're told to preach the word in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but want to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with what? In accordance to their own desires. And when you do that, you turn your ears away from the truth and turn aside unto myths or turn aside unto fables. So the word has got to continue to be preached. You have to expose the unfruitful works of darkness instead of going along and participating in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. The church is to be subject to Christ, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24. We aren't teaching, warning, and encouraging our brethren and children to contend earnestly for the truth. What's going to happen to the next generation? The desire to join the multitude in celebration of Christmas instead of remembering his death. Sadly, as we think about just down the road here, and sometimes we get confused for them. Talk about Alta Mesa Church of Christ. And we're on Alta Mesa and say, well, no, they, on their website, here they have Alta Mesa Church of Christ Christmas musical unto us, Emmanuel. Sunday, December 11th, they would have had this a couple weeks ago. We invite you to join us for a special morning of worship led by our children and teens. So we ask the question, where is the permission for Christ to put on a Christmas musical in his name instead of preaching the word of God? Who gets the glory for that? Does God get the glory when he never said to do it? Couldn't do it in his name? The Lord commanded that we remember his death on the first day, in the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. The first century church obeyed him, and they did it on the first day of the week. There's no evidence that you see in the scriptures for the birthday of Christ. It's not revealed. The Catholic Encyclopedia admits it. Can't do it by faith. It's not in obedience to its command. What happens concerning the worship? Well, we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. If you teach for doctrine the command of men, your worship is in vain. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Be judged by his word in the last day. Well, this is offensive. This is offensive to me, somebody says. Well, we read that passage earlier in Matthew chapter 15. We shouldn't be surprised. The disciples are concerned about that. The Pharisees are offended by what you said, Jesus. In verse 12 of Matthew 15, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. When you look at the preaching of the gospel, yes, Jesus was born of a virgin. We see that in the gospels. When you get to the preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In the letters preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified concerning those who are departing, especially in the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2 and following, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's all about as far as the forgiveness of sins and standing firm and holding fast to the pattern of sound words, which we studied in our Bible class. Our Heavenly Father didn't put Christ in Christmas. I want you to think about the fact, Christ in Christmas. How offended would you be if concerning your will, you put out your will, and you know what? You know, your relatives totally disregard that. So, well, I wouldn't be alive to know that. But the Lord is alive. And He will judge us. And He wants to save us. To hold fast to His words. Yes, it's a narrow way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. Many are following the broad way that leads to destruction. And the sad reality is, if it wasn't planted by Christ, it's going to be uprooted in the last day and be condemned. But it's not too late today. Today is the day of salvation. Do you need to obey the gospel? It hasn't changed. But the whole thing is that we have to be willing to change our will for God's will, to recognize I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To recognize I, with wicked hands, have crucified the Son of God when I sinned and separated myself from God. What shall we do? When they were convicted, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they were willing to repent and be baptized. Because it said, every one of you. The apostles didn't preach one thing in one church and another thing in another church. The same thing in every church to be saved. You believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that's good. But have you repented of your sins? Changed your will for God's will? Have you confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you been buried with Christ in baptism so that you might rise to walk in newness of life? That's what they all did in the first century. Lord has promised to add you to His church, not to some human denomination. And the great joy of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. More about Jesus would I learn. Growing to become more like Him every day. And looking forward to eternal life in heaven. And helping others to obey the truth also while we're on this journey. And it's going by very, very quickly as we come to the last Lord's Day of the year. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? This is the time. This is the opportunity for Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. Not just to those who believe Him, but to those who obey Him. Those who believe Him are going to obey what He said in order to be saved. Are you subject to Heaven's invitation? Do you need to be baptized for the remission of sin of your sins? Or do you need to be restored? Think about these precious words of eternal life before it is too everlastingly too late. If you're subject, God calls, we encourage you to come right now. We stand and sing.